How many times do we listen to things from the Bible or read it and have no idea what it's talking about? And you scratch your head, am I that dull that I don't get the point? And then today comes that first reading from Genesis about Joseph. My goodness, what a story that is. Joseph, who had them dead to rights, those brothers of his, that took him out of the hole that they had put him in and sold him to the traders that were coming by. We forget how some of the story goes, that I think the musical, the Technicolor Dreamcoat, Joseph, it put it into some kind of a way for us to understand that Joseph became kind of a pain in the neck, and he didn't even know it. Especially when he came down toward the brothers and he said, look at the beautiful coat my father has given me. And that fried their circuits. And so as you look back at these stories, you have a pretty good understanding of the surprise that is happening in today's reading. Joseph, who has the goods on his brothers, who are standing there, and I'm not sure how the looks on their faces show that they might be in dread, because this guy that's talking to them is the leader of the whole country in the stead of the Pharaoh himself. But then Joseph does a surprising thing. Forgive. And even more than that, he looked back and he saw that God had a plan. What you intended for evil, God turned into good. And so God has taken me out of the hole that you threw me in, out of slavery into which you entered me, and given me the right and privilege to help the Pharaoh as like a father figure to him. What an astonishing thing that is, to look at the evil things that others have handed you and to see that it was a good thing indeed, that God has translated everything into something wonderful. He will lift you up from all fear. I claim you as my choice. Be still and know that I am here for a reason. Be kind, be merciful, be providing. We said in the hymn, in the prayer of the day, and the hymn of the day will have the same blessing to it. But then we have to watch out. Don't turn the faith of our religion into a list of do's and don'ts, into rules and regulations. And that's what exactly is happening in the tone of voice that was read to you from 1 Corinthians. Last week we heard, how can some of you say there is no resurrection from the dead? If there was no resurrection from the dead, then Christ has not been raised from the dead. And that went on and on, explaining the surprise of that resurrection itself. This morning, it goes to us. And someone, it doesn't even name, it could be just a kind of an imaginary person who asks the question, what kind of body will the risen person have? And Paul calls that person a fool. I love that, these impolite words of the one who's asking for mercy is calling someone fool. It could be just an imaginary person who is kind of like a stick figure to ask the right question that can be dealt with. Who are we as the people of God, but the people of Easter Sunday? I've taken a lot of pleasure in explaining to other congregations that the world had Jewish worship as kind of an expected standing for the Sabbath day, the seventh day of the week. But early in the morning, on the seventh day of the week, Sunday, the women went to the tomb to anoint the body, and it was not there. The disciples gathered in the upper room. On the first day of the week, Jesus came and saluted them in the common way, Shalom Aleichem, peace with you. And then he identified himself by the symbols that are undeniable. He showed them his hands and his side. But they were not overcome with the feeling, but with joy that the Lord was risen to life and that something extra special was happening. So this body of ours will follow in the stead of Jesus, the risen Lord. By the authority of God's word, we shall be raised again, although we cannot understand it. We have such a poor understanding. That's how it was in Luther's day, after he tried to pull the church out of its misunderstanding of works that it was supposed to do, money it was supposed to pay to get right with God. Luther said it comes to us not because we deserve it, but because God is merciful. Think about it. It's not because you paid your way with the right gifts, with jewels and promises of other things that you would do, but because God had mercy upon you. Take that in your heart and then act like a person who has been forgiven, a person who has been given a second chance. Smile instead of frown. Hug instead of hit. Be the kind of person that you want to see in other people. Well, Luther found that it was so difficult to explain that kind of tone of voice that he wrote the first hymn of the Lutheran Church. It's one that we have in our red books that are in front of you in the pews. It's, "Dear Christians, one and all, rejoice." And guess what section it's in? Easter. Because it's the mark of who we are as the Christians who rejoice in what God has done by raising Jesus from the dead. It's only been 6 years since Martin Luther nailed the 95 Theses to the wall, to the door of the church in Wittenberg, where he was a professor. And it started a whole bunch of problems where he had, after he was condemned by the Pope, Leo, he had to hide out in the Wartburg Castle, and he spent his time doing some pretty good things, like translating the Bible from its Hebrew and Greek into the spoken language of the people, German. And so when he went to write a hymn that would talk about Easter and its blessings, he wrote it in German. They were not at that time in Germany or anywhere else singing hymns together. This was the beginning of something new. And the hymns were supposed to teach as well as unite the congregation in one voice. What a wonderful thing it is that the collection of eight hymns would start with the first one written by Martin Luther, that the Christians should rejoice. And then it turns biographical in a way. Luther wrote these words, "I have suffered in pain, by sin, in fear of eternal life, if it would ever happen. God saw this wreckage in me and planned for my salvation." Does that sound familiar? That's Joseph's line. God planned it for me to be placed here in Egypt. So don't go messing with your heads It was a good thing that God did. God, whose father's heart looked at my difficulty, took a plan and put it into activity. He entered our human condition, born of Mary, taught our blessing and giving opportunities through parables and teaching until he endured the pain of Good Friday. And then he was raised to new life so that he could go before the people and give them hope of life everlasting. We're going to sing about that when we do our hymn, You Are Mine. And it puts everything in the future tense. I will come to you. I will lift you from all fear. I am hope for all who are hopeless. I am strength for all who are despairing. I will call your name, embracing all your pain. And then the command is, stand up, now walk, and live. But you see, the Lord Jesus has already done this. We don't have to look forward to his doing it. He's done it. He's taken care of our need, forgiven our sin, and given us the chance to be a new kind of people. Easter, folks. No wonder we are proud to say so many things in our hymnody that talks about Jesus lifting me. For we are down in our sin. We are down with our disappointment. We are down in our suffering until Jesus lifts us up. No wonder people sing with joy those kinds of words, not so that they are playing church, but so that they are being church, that they are taking it into our hearts, all the good things God has done. We could therefore end our worship in a kind of spirit that says, because I belong to the lifting power of Christ, I will not hurt others. I will not tell rumors. I will not call people names. I will not try to hurt other people's feelings. If I disagree with a principle or a teaching that someone has, I will not make fun of him or her, but I will try to change the teaching and the misunderstanding carefully with understanding so that people will hear a new idea and will not condemn the person who lesser people might be making fun of. I will not lie. I will not cheat. I will not steal. Why? Because it's in the commandments that I must do this, I must not do these things? No, because I am part of the body of Christ, trusting that the risen Lord is going before me, even though it's a mystery. I cannot explain it. I cannot understand it. But each of you in your own way will probably put it into a personal relationship. I will just tell you again, as I have said before, I do not understand how it will happen, but I will see my brother who died at 14 when I was 15 while he was out with a friend. They were supposed to be swimming. And it's been a confusion of my life to find the answers to so many questions. But I went to seminary seeking that and found only more questions, so that I could feel the same way that people in the pews feel, the ones who have the questions, who don't understand. And I would have the chance to point them to the first hymn Luther ever wrote that says, good Christian friends, rejoice and sing. Christ is risen. Amen.